Hello and welcome to the West Beach Challenges podcast. And I feel like I've been a bit missing in action and then I lost my voice. So lots of different kind of things coming up, which means it's been a little while since I've probably popped into your ears, but I have been thinking about you and I've missed you. So hopefully you feel the same. And today I'm going to talk all about kind of time management, because with so many of the clients that I work with, it's just this kind of ongoing battle of trying to get in everything. So the majority of the women I work with, we are actually trying to kind of like hold down jobs. We're trying to keep together kind of like families, try and keep some sort of semblance of a social life going, kind of all just the life admin that I do feel like, even in this day and age, massively always sits more with the female in the family. So just want to talk a little bit about time management and maybe some kind of constructs that might help you start to understand kind of even where your energy levels are, and maybe how you might notice where your energy levels are, and then maybe shift either your energy levels or your expectations of what you're able to achieve, depending on where you feel you are at any given moment in time. And one of the things I've been off doing is going to a very lovely kind of fitness and marketing conference. And during this conference, we had a really great speaker, and I'm going to chat to you about the sort of constructs he talks about when you are identifying kind of where you're sat at the moment, and the types of things you might expect of yourself depending on where your energy levels are. So hopefully kind of has really made me reanalyze and maybe actually be a bit more compassionate with myself, because I know with so many, particularly my one-to-one clients, when we sit down and we look at kind of the next 7 days and we start kind of planning in the training and the nutrition and when like the food shop might happen, sometimes we're really way too overambitious. So actually, one of the techniques that I'm quite frequently using, both with myself and my clients, is actually the first thing to do in your day is to sit down. Hopefully, if you're working with me anyway, you've got your morning routine in place and you're really kind of setting your intention of how you want to lead your day. Because the issue for so many people is that we open up our telephones, it's the first thing we do, and then everything we had hoped that our day would contain, it doesn't contain that anymore, because we've probably wasted like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour being kind of sucked into emails and social media and thinking about things that weren't even on our agenda, things that are definitely not moving us towards the type of person that we want to be living, or how we want to be living our life, basically. So we might have like a real intention of how we want to live our one precious and incredible life, but we're forever finding that we get to the end of the day, we're frazzled, we're no closer to making any inroads or nudges at all. So the first thing that he said in this talk, and I wrote it down because, as you may know, I have no memory for these things unless I write them down, was the fact that time is like a massively man-made construct. So obviously we've kind of just made this notion of time up. And he was talking about how when he works, so his role is coaching, kind of mental performance coaching. So really trying to get people who are really at the top of their game to perform no matter what. So no matter whether they're trying to kind of function when like they are really hard up against some like massive deadlines or a massive sporting, I can't speak obviously at the moment, I've lost all of my words, but I'm sure some of you relate to that as well, but some massive sporting events. So no matter what, he was really talking about this mental performance being the ability to perform and feel enough regardless of your circumstances. So this is the type of coaching he does. He wants the people that he works with for having to perform at the top of their game to be able to do that kind of no matter what. But he was talking about this man-made construct of time. And he was saying that when he's working with these high-performance athletes or coaches, what he often finds is it's not a time management issue, but it's an energy management issue. And again, I think that really resonated with me and with the work that I do with you guys, that actually I think when we step back and we start to kind of look at how we're spending our energy, I really do feel like we all probably do have enough time, but we all need to be a little bit more mindful about how we are managing our energy within the time that we've got. So in our day, how much of our energy do we just give away? Like, particularly if you are one of those people that jumps straight into their telephone, like if you think about your power and your energy and your ability to kind of live in line with your goal or your intention at the moment, if you think that you start every day with a full bucket, do you really want to like stick a hole in that bucket the first thing you do? So you've got this massive energy power leak going out because you open up the news and it's a bit depressing. And then you open up Instagram and, you know, you start thinking about somebody else's life and how they're living it and comparing it to your life. And then you notice there's an email from work and it's only 6 a.m. and you are not starting with that lovely kind of blanket of snow where you are putting on that blanket of snow what you want to get out of your day. Instead, you're letting all of these external inputs start to mold and direct how you're going to feel going into that day, how your energy is going to look. So I just want you to take this moment. Is that you? Is your phone right by your bed? Is it the first thing that you reach for? And then if you've got kids, like I know with my kids, I'm really trying to kind of parent, particularly Kit, who's got a phone, about, you know, don't have your phone in your bedroom. Don't look at it. Like, obviously you can check messages before you like go and meet your mates who you walk to school with, but I don't want him just opening his eyes and then opening up his phone. And if we don't want it for the people that we love most in the world, do we really want it for us? Like, if it's not healthy for them, if we're worried about their phone addiction, should we start to kind of think about how we're using it in our lives as well, and whether that kind of balance has gone, and whether you just get that kind of drive to check your phone the second you wake up. But actually, maybe that is a massive energy leak for you, and you need to kind of reimagine a more loving morning routine. Maybe you need to parent yourself. I mean, I am the worst. If you know me personally, you probably will be like, you're not so great on your phone. But I actually have to parent myself around it. So it's charged downstairs. I actually turn it off. Having some rules, if you quite like a rule, it might be I don't look at my phone until after breakfast. And there might be certain occasions when maybe a family member's not in the house or you need to be contactable. But I think most of the time, for most of us, our majority habit could probably be not to be checking our phones first thing in the morning and actually getting in that morning routine. Because the morning routine means that you are going to be checking in with yourself, finding out and thinking about what's most important to you that day to get done. And if you're thinking, what is a morning routine, and you're not working with me, I get the guys I'm working with to wake up in the morning, write down the one thing they're 100% committed to achieving that day. So it might be, I am going to get my steps in. It might be, I am going to do an amazing food shop for myself today. But it's one thing, so you're not overwhelmed, so you're not feeling like a failure. It's one thing that you are definitely going to succeed with. Because again, there's such a trust issue, I think, with ourselves. And if you keep writing yourself a to-do list with 28 items on it, and every single day you can only tick off one or two, you constantly are telling yourself on a subconscious level that you can't trust yourself to get stuff done, because actually you won't get it done. But it's actually that you're just being too overly optimistic, which is not a bad thing. But yeah, this is why we start with the one thing you're 100% committed to doing. The second thing that I get you guys to do is to sort of finish the sentence. And I do like it to be pen to paper, because yes, you can say it in your head. But if you haven't tried pen to paper, give yourself a 7-day challenge actually writing this stuff down, and you will actually notice that it starts to create this meaningful internal shift. And it's just to finish the sentence. I'm working towards being a person who, and it might be anything. Have a think about your big why. When you started working with me, what were the values that you wrote down? What are the top three things that are most important to you in the world? And then what type of person is kind of nailing the type of life that you want. Is it the type of person that isn't a people pleaser? Is it the type of person that can say no to food and drink that just don't line up with the goal that you've chosen? Or is it the type of person who shows up for their exercise no matter what, no matter what the weather, no matter what kind of curveballs get thrown at them? Or is it being the type of person who wakes up early and capitalizes on getting their workout done quite early? Can be anything, or the type of person who takes any opportunity that's given to them to move that little bit more. So obviously, I'm imagining if you're working with me, you're going to probably want, particularly at the beginning of this journey, whilst you're nailing the fundamentals of fitness and movement and nutrition, you're probably going to want them to be focused on those areas. But obviously, as you've been here longer and longer and longer, and those things are just nailed, those things are this fundamental blueprint that you can rely on that are just kind of automatically happening in the background, you can start to think about other dimensions of your life that you want to kind of improve upon or work upon. So it might be, I want to be the type of person who spends some really sort of connected time with my kid today without any distractions. So again, you can start to, I do find, and this is the magic for you guys who've been here kind of years and years and years, once you're like nutrition tick, training tick, tick, movement tick. So when you've got those three things just ticking along in the background, it opens up your brain. It gives you so much more space and time to create and design this incredible life that you want, because you're not thinking or obsessing about your training and your movement and your nourishment. That stuff is just feeling naturalized. It's feeling normal. It's feeling part of you. You just kind of know your preferred way of being, and that's just starting to kind of run itself. So then you can start to actually think about other elements of your life that you want to kind of knuckle down on and make some improvements. And that is the beauty, that is the joy, and that is what I love seeing you guys who have been kind of long-term members go on and just realize that this stuff, it's not just nutrition, it's just not just movement, it's not just a bit of training. Like, this is kind of life transforming stuff. And I know some of you are on that journey right now, and I'm so excited when I get your check-ins, because it's amazing. So if time is a man-made construct, and if it's not a time management issue, if you could just start to get really curious about whether, is it a time management issue you've got, or are you not managing your energy properly? And he then started talking about, and actually you can do this. So in the session with us, he actually made us kind of write down a green column, an amber column, and a red column. And it's just quite an easy way of identifying where are you with your energy levels at the moment. And when you're in the green, it's probably the time that you are most able to do your creative tasks. It might be that you can kind of redesign a product, or I don't know, create like a new working pathway, because you're in the green, like things are good, things are flowing, like things are kind of, you know, ticking along. You've got energy, you've got time, you're probably quite well rested. You're probably feeling like you want to grow an element of what you're doing, whether that's either in your social life, like you've got bandwidth to entertain new ideas, new things. You might feel that you're particularly connected with your family, with your partner, hopefully feeling quite calm. And the kind of habits that run alongside being in green for me, because again, what you can do is you can write down, how do I know when I'm in green? And this was really interesting. So I'll just personally kind of go with what I would notice. But I am much more creative with my cooking. I am much more experimental and probably trying out some new recipes. I am really enjoying my exercise, and there's joy in it for me. I'm not just kind of like carrying it out in a very functional way. I'm actually really kind of maybe even being a bit more creative, maybe exploring some new ways I like to move my body. So it would be all of those things. I would definitely find socially that my conversations are better. Again, I'm probably seeking out social connection because I've got a little bit of room in my life and everything is feeling like it's in the green. Boundary-wise as well, I'm probably respecting my boundaries. I'm not overworking, I'm not underworking. So everything's just quite lovely. And I want you to take time to notice when you're in your green. Like, what does green look like for you? Kind of what are your habits and behaviors when you're in green? And then if you start to get into amber, so there's just three, it's just green, amber, and red. And for me, I think if I'm in amber, things might just start to slip a little bit. So it might be that my boundaries around my telephone aren't quite as good as they are when I'm in green. It might be that I've stopped any kind of like meditation practice or any kind of morning routine, or it's inconsistent. It's a little bit glitchy. It might be that the food shop, it's not kind of happening in its regularized way, and I'm starting to run out of food and the food environment's not so good. So everything's just a little bit on the slide, but it's really good just to write down, like, how do I know when I'm in amber? Like, what are the kind of warning signs that I'm kind of going on this slippery slope? Maybe it's that you start working a little bit later into the evenings. Maybe you're a bit more distractible. Maybe you're not really seeking out social connection. So all of those types of things, maybe it's that you start to drink a little bit more to unwind. Maybe your emotional eating starts to creep in a little bit. You're not in green anymore. You're just sort of noticing that you're getting into that kind of amber color. And then they talk about red. So like, when are you in the red? And it might be, I know for me, I'm massively distractible. I'm probably really struggling to have any kind of meaningful chat. I can be much more kind of flighty, definitely finding it harder to switch off. So maybe sleep is going to start to get impacted upon. Probably much more excitable, so kind of bursts of energy. The feeling of kind of overwhelm. My food would become very like functionary. So obviously everyone know who has been listening to this or works with me knows, you know, there's always going to be a plate method for me, and there's always going to be a bit of protein, and there's always going to be a bit of a carb and a fat and a tiny shizzle. But you know what, if I'm in red, the shizzle is probably very minimal. So again, I want you to think about, I actually want you to get pen to paper and think about, what signs are there when you're in red? Has your training, has it slipped completely when you're in red? Is training something that just does not happen when you're in the red? For me, again, because it's been such a habit for such a long time, it's probably always going to exist. But for me, if I'm in the red, it's going to be less joyful. It's going to be very kind of just going through the motions, kind of turning up, just as a preservation measure more than anything else. And he does talk about the fact, you know, all of us should be moving from all of these different energy states. And it might be that even in a day you move from being feeling quite red to green to amber, but actually just actually giving it a name, or even starting to communicate with your family, or start to ask them, how do you know when I'm in the red? Like, what do you notice about me? Like my husband the other day, he said, yeah, you leave every single cupboard door open. I mean, the other day I did a really great thing where I actually managed to leave the front door and the back door open. So again, actually starting to ask the people around you who love you the most, you know, when do you notice that I may be too much in the red? Because we don't want to stay in the red. Like, cortisol is going to be high. You are going to be kind of living in this fight or flight state, and it's going to be exhausting. And he gave this really nice analogy, so maybe this will be useful for some of you to hold on to as well. And he talked about these two woodsmen, and they go out into this forest to cut down all of these trees. And the young guy, he is there and he's like flexing his muscles. He's really super strong, and he like is whacking down all of these trees. And this older tree surgeon comes, and he basically takes his axe, he chops down one tree, he goes off. He comes back, he chops down another. So methodical, but he keeps going away. And at the end of the day, the old guy has actually managed to chop down so many more trees than the young guy. And the young guy says to him, what were you doing? Why did you keep going away? And he said, well, actually, I was sharpening my axe. And for us, if you're in the red and you're trying to push out like a creative task, or you're trying to push out a piece of work, what you need to remember is the axeman, and you need to remember that what he did was he went and he sharpened his tool. And I just thought this was such a nice way to look at it. And I know that sometimes I would just sit and try and work, or try and, I don't know, push through like a new piece of work. And actually I'm sitting in the red and it doesn't matter. I'm not using my time well. I'm not using my energy well. And that's the thing. It's not a time management issue. It's not like I need to sit at my computer for longer. What I probably need to do is manage my energy and see if I can get into one of those better states for doing the task I'm trying to complete. And it might be there's occasional tasks where you're actually much better in the red because you've got that massive deadline. You just need to get it done. And you know that that kind of energy really works for you. But if the task is something quite creative and you're just finding that you're sat in the red and you're getting absolutely nowhere, remember the axeman and remember what he had to do. He had to go back and sharpen his tool. And this is quite a good task to do. So if you have got pen and paper, or if you're going to be journaling later, which hopefully you are, write down the things that you think you can do to change your energy state. So if you're sat in the red and you are struggling and everything's feeling a bit perfunctory, there's maybe a bit of a lack of joy about certain things, and you just feel like you're existing in this fight or flight, I want you to have a think about what things can I do? What things work for me to help me get back into a better energy state? How can I better manage my energy or restore my energy? There is really something about restorative rest. So it's not just that kind of crash and burn at the end of a day, but actually looking for restorative rest. Maybe that is popping on a yin yoga. If you're in the app, there's an amazing 30-minute yin yoga that I think just transforms my energy, my mood, my day. Maybe it's that you have to physically switch off your phone and give yourself 2 hours and you go for a walk. And maybe you go for a walk without any devices. But this is going to be really specific to you. Maybe you find cooking really therapeutic. Maybe it's that you just need to kind of sit and be present with another human. But again, don't take your telephone with you. So you need to do something to sharpen your tool so you're not trying to push out things in a really, resource heavy way. So there's no point sitting in the red for ages and trying to do something because it's not going to work. You'd be so much better to change your energy, manage your energy, and then come back to those tasks. But I thought it'd be useful to share because I've been thinking about it a lot. I think the conference was a couple of weeks ago now, and it's still something that I am talking to my family about as well. Like, just identifying where everybody else's energy levels are as well. Because if someone's in green and someone's in red, that's very different energy levels. And if my husband tries to come and talk to me about, I don't know, a garden design, and I'm in the red, I'm not listening. I'm not hearing him. I'm in the red. So we've actually started using it as basically an identifier for us as well. Like, we're not going to meet in the same energy space to have important conversations unless we know where each other are currently existing in this kind of red, amber and green states. So that's all I want you to think about this week. So I'm going to try and keep this relatively short-ish. I like to keep it around the same length of time as a 5k walk. Or maybe this would be more like a 5K jog, but anyway, have a little think. But it just leads me onto a couple of other things. And I've had this incredible client I've been working with, and she sent me this lovely message. And I thought this would just kind of lead on to just kind of talk about different opportunities at the moment. If you are looking for some kind of meaningful change to embed, if you're looking for kind of creating this new lifestyle of loving yourself, of nourishing yourself better, of starting to train consistently, of all of those things. She sent me this message and we've been working together. I'm trying to think how long we've been working together. We've been working together probably coming on a year now, kind of on and off, both group coaching and one-to-one. And she basically sent a message that said, I can feel that my identity has shifted and I don't feel like a fraud for prioritizing my health. Thank you. And I just wanted to share that quote with you because I think when people come and work with like an online coach, it's like, well, you know, what is it? Why on earth would I pay? Why would I work with someone online? I'm not even going to see them. Like, surely if I'm going to do anything or invest my time, my money, my, you know, energy anywhere, it should be with a one-to-one PT who's going to be with me and make me pick up some weights. But I would say that if you are the type of person who really struggles to embed meaningful change, then actually online coaching is probably, well, not probably, is exactly what you need. Because it's not a lack of knowledge that's keeping you stuck. It's not that you don't know that you need to be more consistent, that you need to actually practice consistency over time to get the results that you want. It's your inability to kind of move that knowledge into action. And when you work with someone who's on the other side of a message, who can kind of be checking in with you, who can help you plan your energy management across a week, prioritizing you, prioritizing the things that you have told me are important to you. So again, most people who work with me, they do want to feel better in their own bodies. They want to feel energized. They want to feel like they know how to nourish themselves. And this isn't really about me prescribing exercise. There's so much free exercise online. You could literally, for the rest of your life, do a brand new exercise video off YouTube, totally free forever until you die. And it's not about there not being enough good recipes out there. Again, I mean, good food recipes. Literally, it's you wouldn't be able to exhaust that list if you tried something brand new every single day. But what happens when you invest in coaching and when you actually say, no, this is the time, this is what I want to do. I want to be the type of person who, and again, when people often ask me about coaching, it's because they really have struggled previously to maintain a pattern of loving themselves more deeply for forever, basically. And this is my hope for all of you. Like, if you start working with me, I mean, I'll keep you forever, and I will always give you fresh exercise videos and different recipes and support and nutrition, etc., etc. But what I want you to do is for you to create an identity for yourself, a new identity for yourself that you have thought about, that you have kind of gone on a bit of a journey to create, so you believe in this human. You don't feel, and I think the word in that check-in was like, I don't feel like a fraud anymore. And for so many people, when they come into coaching, they don't identify as being people that train. They don't identify as being people who move enough, not consistently. And they really don't identify as being somebody who kind of optimally nourishes themselves. And the issue then is that these people have probably gone on multiple fad diets, or multiple kind of different like notions of how they're going to restrict a certain food group. And surely this is going to be the kind of magic, but it's never the magic. And the problem is they don't take their brains on the journey of creating this new identity. So they never believe in it. And if you're someone, for example, who just really does quite like a carbohydrate, and you try and step into an identity of being someone who is banning all carbs or demonizing sugar, etc., that identity is never going to stick with you because it doesn't belong to you. And my dream, my goal, my mission is to get you believing in the identity that you want to create for yourself. And I would imagine that is somebody who knows how they like to nourish their body, how what types of food give them sustained energy, that doesn't kind of fall into emotional eating all the time, has other strategies to cope with their emotions, somebody who knows how they like to move their body, who knows how they like to train their body, who's maybe even got a bit of a performance goal suddenly. Because again, I take all of that energy that you've previously spent on stepping on the scales and worrying about your weight into kind of really reversing it and being like, have you ever imagined like what a version of yourself would look like when we put getting you stronger and better nourished at the top of the agenda? So I don't want to minimize you. I don't want to make you weigh less against gravity. Basically want to give you a set of superpowers. And this set of superpowers is basically bringing you home to your body, making you feel like you are sitting in the driver's seat. You're not just a passenger being told what to do. And you're going to have ownership over this blueprint of behaviors that you've created, because you're going to spend some time exploring and iterating and, you know, just practicing flexibility about how these fundamental habits for future-proofing yourself need to look in your life right at this moment in time. And then what we need to do is also practice flexibility, because lives are busy. The women I work with are busy. And if you're thinking, oh my God, summer holidays are coming up, I don't know what I'm going to do, like, you know, your needs are going to be put last. I need you to not be waiting for September. I need you to take the fact that this podcast is in your ears as a sign that you need to really change something. This 6 weeks, you can start voting for being the type of person who doesn't let their self-care go to pot just because it's the summer holidays and there's a break in routine. And if you're interested in starting to do some work with me, I've got a totally free Nourish and Reset group happening. And we're going to start it on the 24th of July. I will pop the link down below in notes, or find me on socials and just give me like a little heart and I'll ping it across to you, because I want this journey. I want this information to be available to everybody. My mission in life is to show you that you don't actually ever need to diet again. You just need to understand how you want to look after yourself better. And then this will become your path of least resistance. It will become your preferred way of living. And then everything else is easy. So if that sounds great, if that sounds like it needs to be where you're going, just let me know. And if you already work with me, still jump into the free group, because there's nothing like a bit of iteration and a little bit of tweaking. So guys, thank you for listening. That was a lovely 30-minute walk. And yes, I will speak to you again soon. All right, bye.